This is a security issue, it's not a trade issue. We have no reason to believe that there should be any reaction.
China accused of supporting cyber hacks. It's Monday, July 26th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online. We're at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Afghanistan still wants U.S. help. Empty seats at Tokyo Olympics. Hip-hop in Kashmir. It's all on today's VOA Asia. New Zealand's trade minister says he does not expect Chinese economic retaliation as tensions increase over claims of Chinese cyber hacking. China last week called on New Zealand to abandon its Cold War mentality after New Zealand's government criticized Beijing for supporting hacking following a cyber attack on tech giant Microsoft. Logging in securely from Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
New Zealand authorities said Monday they'd uncovered evidence of Chinese state-sponsored cyber attacks in New Zealand. Government officials said the Government Communications Security Bureau had established links between a group supported by Beijing called the Advanced Persistent Threat 40 and malicious cyber activity in New Zealand. Monday, the United States and other Western countries, including New Zealand and Australia, accused China of hacking Microsoft Exchange, an email service used by companies around the world. New Zealand said such interference undermined global stability and security. China reacted angrily. Its embassy in Wellington issued a statement Tuesday, calling the hacking allegations totally groundless and irresponsible. It urged New Zealand to abandon the Cold War mentality. Business leaders in New Zealand are increasingly concerned that political tensions will affect lucrative China trade ties. However, Trade Minister Damien O'Connor told Radio New Zealand Thursday he wasn't expecting economic retaliation.
This is a security issue. It's not a trade issue. We have no reason to believe that there should be any reaction. If you're a small business, a big business, or you're a country and you have a huge reliance on any one market, then that exposes you. And that's why we're building trade agreements and trade connections with a whole range of markets so that our exporters and importers can have a range of options.
New Zealand, a country of 5 million people, is heavily reliant on China, its biggest trading partner. Two-way trade is worth more than $23 billion. Dairy and meat are key New Zealand exports to China, while coming the other way are electronics and machinery, which are significant imports. New Zealand relies on global trade. It was one of the first countries to promote the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a key regional accord. It was the first nation to secure a free trade agreement with Hong Kong. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
We invite you to read more on our top story about cyber hacking by following us online. You'll find this and many other stories on our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. Find us as well on Facebook and at the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. U.S. Defense Secretary heads to Southeast Asia. Typhoon may be latest challenge for already strange Tokyo Olympics. Floods may trigger production delays in China's iPhone city. British analyst envisions overthrow of China's Xi Jinping. Marsupial resurgence in outback China. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more when you visit us at Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and at the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue now with VOA Asia. Afghan lawmakers are asking the United States to continue to provide urgently needed maintenance and logistical support for their Air Force and National Armed Forces after the U.S. military completes its withdrawal in September. The White House has pledged continued support, but stopped short of promising continued maintenance or drone strikes on Taliban equipment. VOA's senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain tells us more.
Amid ongoing violence in Afghanistan, including rockets landing near the presidential palace during prayers this week, the Taliban are calling for President Ashraf Ghani to step down as a condition for any negotiated political settlement. Asked about the comments Friday, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki had this to say.
I would note that there are ongoing political negotiations and discussions that we certainly support between Afghan leaders, members of the Afghan government, and the Taliban. And we believe a political solution is the only outcome to lasting peace in Afghanistan. But we will continue to provide support to the government in the form of humanitarian support, security support, training, and we will also continue to encourage them to take a leading role and defending and protecting their own people.
Earlier this week at the Pentagon, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, gave this candid assessment of Afghanistan's uncertain future.
There's a possibility of a negotiated outcome that's still out there. There's a possibility of a complete Taliban takeover or a possibility of any number of other scenarios, breakdowns, warlordism, all kinds of other scenarios that are out there. We're monitoring very closely. I don't think the end game is yet written.
In a Zoom call with U.S. journalists Friday that was not recorded, several leading members of the Afghan parliament urgently called on the United States to continue providing critical funding, logistical support, and maintenance help for their security forces and air force, saying one-third of their planes are grounded due to maintenance issues. They also asked for more U.S. drones to attack Taliban equipment. Afghan lawmakers said the problems would only get worse after U.S. forces depart in September. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, more than 100 people have died and tens of thousands have been evacuated, according to Indian officials, after India's Maharashtra state was bombarded by monsoon rains, causing flooding and landslides. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Thanks for tuning in. To the disappointment of many Olympic fans, spectators have been banned from attending Olympic and Paralympics games in Tokyo. That's in response to Japan's latest wave of COVID-19 infections. For VOA, Steve Ross joins us with reaction from Tokyo.
Games of the 32nd Olympiad in 2020 are awarded to the city of Tokyo. Yeah!
Joy from the Japanese delegation when the International Olympics Committee announced Tokyo had been picked to host the 2020 Olympics. Brand new sports venues, including a new national stadium, were built in anticipation of throngs of Olympic visitors. Officials saw the Games as an opportunity to promote the country's growing tourism industry and showcase omotenashi, Japanese-style hospitality. But the COVID-19 pandemic disrupted plans. The games were postponed a year, and in March, international spectators were banned. Earlier this month, in the face of rising infections, officials banned nearly all domestic spectators, too.
I think the reaction from the Japanese people, they haven't been supportive of the one-year postponement. And this has been ongoing for months, and there's been a lack of enthusiasm.
Professor of Public Diplomacy at Kyoto University of Foreign Studies, Nancy Snow, says athletes may be affected by competing in venues without spectators.
This will impact the athletes. They're human beings. They're exceptionally talented, but they're still human beings. They have emotions, and they're going to feel that. You got to have fans for the Olympics. You got to have that buildup. You got to have the cheering.
Visitors are sparse and local vendors are hurting, like Mika Soka Hanaishi, who teaches tea ceremony fundamentals.
I already lost 80% of the sales since last year. But obviously, I was expecting getting more, the time that the Olympics was open.
Despite their apprehensions about hosting the Olympics, the decision to forbid almost all spectators is seen by many Japanese residents as regrettable.
If these Olympics succeed, I think Japan's reputation will rise, but I wonder how much economic effect it will have because we will have spent more money by then. I think we won't know whether it's good or bad until it's over.
Steve Ross for VOA News, Tokyo.
Kosher-nism, a hip-hop collective, is reviving conscious hip-hop music in Indian-administered Kashmir. The genre made its way in the disputed territory following an anti-Indian government uprising in 2010. The rappers continued to produce their songs up to 2016, but pressure from the Indian government, financial constraints, and a lack of opportunity forced the rappers to move to other places or find other work to earn their livelihood. We hear more from them in their own words.
My name is Mir Ghazanfar. I'm known with the stage name SXR. I'm from Kashmir. I'm part of the collective called Kershan Nizam. Almost a year ago, I, along with Ahmer, Tufail, Arslan, Kafila, we came up with this collective called Kershan Nizam. And the main reason behind this, step was, making people aware about what hip-hop actually is. Back in 2010, when hip-hop started in Kashmir, it was with the song I Protest, sung by the then teenager MC Cash, and that inspired many of the artists, including me, to start hip-hop, to start telling their stories. The artists who started making music in Kashmir, continued to produce their music till 2016. And then, because of the lack of opportunity, because of the financial crisis, it stopped. It disappeared slowly. And then the silence of conscious hip-hop, ended in 2019 when one of my friends, Ahmed Javed, released his album Little Kid Big Dreams under the label Azadi Records.
Mara music is liye alag hai kyunki hum jo bhi likhte hain.
Syed Arsalan says our songs are different from others because we write what we see and experience every day. The songs that were produced post 2016 up to 2019 belong to an imaginary world where the rapper showed off their money, cars, and girls. All these things have become part of hip hop here.
Hip hop mein wo cheez aa gaya tha.
Tufail Nazir says, we must keep a lot of things in mind while writing the songs because the situation now is different from 2010. There are people watching. We have to think about our families and our future. Syed Arslan says, we don't see Kosher-nism as a group of only five members, but a collective of hundreds of rappers. People can come and join us and carry on our mission in our absence. That's our program for today. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Continue online. You'll find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Look us up under our name, VOA Asia. We also thank our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Chris Cascao. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.